All right. Hello, everyone. welcome to 2020. I think this is our first gentle healing class of 2020. First gentle healing year three class, anyway. And of course, those of you who are in gentle healing year three, you're going to finish gentle healing this year. How many of you have been in gentle healing since year one? Have done one, two, and three? Yeah, that's really something. That's really quite a commitment. So congratulations to you. So don't quit now. You're too close to the end. Don't quit. Good. So I don't think I have anything, you know, there's no special announcements or anything that I have to make other than, of course, I think you guys know January 27th, there is a new Gentle Healing Year 1 starting. Shauna is going to be the facilitator. So if you know anybody that's interested in gentle healing, this is the time to tell them about it. Because as you know, there won't be another one, if there is another one, until next year, right? So they can jump on board with Shauna, and that's on Monday nights, starting the last Monday in January. So that's easy to remember. And it will be from 8 to 10 Eastern, which is 6 to 8 Mountain Time. All right, does anybody have anything they would like to share from this last week of Gentle Healing 3? All right, then I will begin the sharing, and you guys know how this works. You just jump in whenever you want to. So the first thing that I have on my, and I do have a lengthy list this week. I thought I might. We'll see if we get through it all. But the first thing is, quote number 1078. However difficult it may be to reach this state, strive for it. And of course, what I would like to do is just share my journal with you on this particular one. So let me share my screen. Oops. I opened up the wrong thing. I wanted my journal and I opened up Awakening Together instead. Okay, so you guys are in step 5 and that was 1078. Here we go. This morning, I heard an unconscious thought rise into consciousness. As I reviewed journal entry number 647, which reads, "The ego is what blocks one's awareness of oneself. Recognizing and ignoring ego in oneself is useful, just as focused time in awareness, watching awareness, is useful. Recognize and ignore ego at every opportunity, whether in focused time or moving about." As I reviewed and read that, I heard the thought after I quit thinking about this. In other words, there was the idea that I would ignore ego after this current important thing has been thoroughly thought through. I wonder how many times that thought went unheard and yet thinking went on because the unheard thought was the. We recognize the thoughts that make this path of self-realization appear difficult. But those thoughts are there under the surface, resisting this path, and we are listening. So let's say a prayer. And if y'all will join me, we can say this prayer together. Lord, let me see every thought of resistance that lives in my mind. Bring each thought into awareness. And let me feel the power I have given it. Let me face each thought of resistance and look at it with right reason, even if it takes my breath away upon first glance. I know how to sit and look, so I will sit and look at each thought until I see through its apparent strength to the real strength of true desire. In this way, each thought shall be made impotent, and I shall continue the magnificent journey up the stairway to heaven. Amen. So, again, the main reason I wanted to share that is because we do have these unconscious thoughts, which are thoughts that just kind of whiz by awareness really quickly. And they're not questioned. They're just automatically believed. And I thought it was really funny when I saw that thought that, now I don't remember what I was thinking about on that day, but obviously there was something that had to be, quote, thought about in the ego's point of view. And the idea was, yeah, I'll give up thinking as soon as I finish thinking about this, you know? And I thought, oh my gosh, that thought has always, always been there. It's just today it was seen. So I wanted to share that with you, not only because it was, I thought, kind of funny, but also because that's what's going on, you know, with you. So be on the lookout for these subconscious or unconscious thoughts when they arise. Does anybody have anything they would like to share before I move on? And by the way, it is these thoughts that make the path difficult. That was the quote, however difficult it may be to reach this state, strive for it. If it wasn't for these unconscious resistance thoughts, the path wouldn't be difficult. So you can notice that you're believing one of these thoughts when it seems difficult, right? When it seems like you don't want to go meditate or you don't want to do your contemplation or, damn it, I just want to tell him what a loser he is, you know, whatever is going on. You're believing an unconscious thought in that moment. So you could look and say, what thought is here now? All right, then, let's move on to the next one. The next one that I have is 1080. They who reach that state which is pure and undecaying, and which is the truth of one's own self, attain to supreme peace. And what I have is journal entry 1080 first. So let me get over to that. And then I have a song. We'll see if I play the song. This was early in the week. I didn't know how many things I would have. I remember this journal entry. I am capable of sustained, heart-driven effort to be what I am firmly and permanently. There is no doubt about that. So why don't I, oops, did I share my screen or did I forget? I think I forgot, didn't I? Let me share the screen. You guys can probably hear better if you see it. I suddenly realized I couldn't see you, which meant I wasn't sharing my screen with you. All right, here we go. I am capable of sustained, heart-driven effort to be what I am firmly and permanently. There is no doubt about that. So why don't I abide there always? The answer that is coming is this. There is still too much value for Regina. Holy shit. Pardon the expletive. Why do I like her so much? The first answer that comes is that she feels like me. And I don't doubt that, but I want to know if there is something more. Another key that I have not yet seen, so that I may let go of this unnecessary attachment. Why do I like her so much? And the answer that came was, she's all I know. It isn't Regina so much, but the known that is loved. Which means it is the unknown that is feared. That is the crux of resistance. So how do I let go of the fear of the unknown? By making a play for it, by enjoying the game of stepping into the unknown, any unknown, every time I have the opportunity to do so. Stop playing it safe. The new game is this. See where the unknown goes. And that means in form, right? What we really feel is the formless unknown. But what we want to do is we want to lessen our fear of the unknown. And so one thing we can do to lessen our fear of the unknown is embrace the unknown when it shows up in form. Another way of saying that is stop trying to control everything. Right. We try and control things also because we're afraid of the unknown. We want things to go in a way that we perceive as safe. Right. We have a chosen outcome. If it goes that way, then I think I will be safe or I will be happy with that. And if it doesn't go that way, if it goes in some other way, that to me is the unknown. And I want to avoid that at all costs. So if we really want to prepare for awakening, since awakening is the unknown, what we need to do is we need to reduce our resistance to the unknown. Any comments on that? Yes, Ron.
Yeah, this is something that you addressed at the last retreat a little bit too. And what I've just for those that weren't there, one of the things that Regina suggested to start getting comfortable with the unknown is just break it, do things differently. Don't do their habitual things. Drive a different route to go someplace, even though it's not the most efficient route. Try things you're typically not used to doing. I don't know what the outcome of that is going to be yet. I can't say that is. I've had a huge aha as it relates to it, but it's. I have found it to be very lightening. It feels so light, not heavy. You know, it's kind of embracing the mess. And mess is not something that I grew up with, not something I was that I ever really did or in my life, except for about 2 year period of time. There was someone else that challenged me to see if I could actually tolerate not making my bed every morning and embrace mess. So I actually did that. I prefer like still have my bedmate even after 2 years. That's what this is somewhat about, because what's going to show up, you know, it's being open to what may show up, and what may show up may be, in my terms, kind of messy, but that's okay. And I've gotten comfortable with embracing the mess, you know, the imperfect perfection.
Yeah,
the perfect imperfection. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. And you know, you can notice when your fear of the unknown arises, when you're asked to do something. For example, I don't know how Shauna feels about this, but you know, I asked Shauna to lead the next gentle healing. It's possible that there might be some fear in her about that, because for her, that's new, unknown territory, right? And she said yes, and she's stepping into the unknown. You know, I remember the first time I was invited to teach back then it was Pal Talk. David Fishman invited me to teach. I was terrified. I remember sitting there next to the computer waiting. I think I was going to start at 8 o'clock, and it was like a quarter till eight, and I had a beanbag chair at the time. Sitting there in the beanbag chair, just shaking, terrified to take that mic and begin speaking, you know, but I had to step into that unknown. So pay attention to when you're trying to avoid, you know, new roles, new situations, new people, right? Even talking to a new person. Is an unknown, to be honest, right? You don't know what's going to happen with that new person when you start a conversation with them. Any other comments? The song that I was going to play is from Frozen 2. Have you guys seen Frozen 2 yet? The new Disney movie? Yeah, Ron has. We can tell who has. Did you do it because of your kids or because of you, Ron? Who is it that drug you in there?
Both. We're all movie buffs, so okay. It doesn't matter what genre.
Well, I live with two Disney buffs, so they drug me there. But I really enjoyed the songs in Frozen 2. And one of the songs is about embracing the unknown. So if we get to the end and I feel like I have time, I'll play the song. But I thought it was perfect for this particular quote. For now, I think I'll go on with the material. So the next thing I'm going to do is share my screen again, and we will look at 1080B, remember what we're looking at here is when I was uncovering, as I contemplated this quote, why I like Regina. So we'll start at 180B, 1080B. I am capable of sustained, heart-driven effort to be what I am firmly and permanently. There is no doubt about that. So why don't I abide there always? The answer that is coming is this. There is still too much value for Regina. Why is there value for Regina? The next answer that comes is this. I like her, and I like her life. Of course, I see that. I made her. She is what she is, and her life is what her life is, because I decided what I wanted and then fashioned that. Regina is literally a dream come true. And I mean this literally. When I was around 19 or 20 or so, again, I had a huge unworthiness problem. Huge. I know some of y'all have huge ones too, but mine was as big as yours at least. And one of the things I did was I got all of these magazines and I would cut out pictures of what I thought, you know, my thinking at the time was, if I become that, then I'll be worthy. And, you know, some of the pictures that I cut out were about traveling all over the world. Some of the pictures that I cut out were about marriage, you know, having a child. Right this moment, I can't remember them all, but there were, oh, of course, I had a gorgeous body in these pictures. You know, just all kinds of stuff that I thought, if I had all of this, then I would be worthy. And I put them all in a photo album, and I spent hours upon hours upon hours looking at that photo album. And what's amazing to me is how many of those pictures have manifested into this life. So when I say Regina, meaning this current Regina life, the Regina that lives in Colorado and goes hiking and has traveled the world and, you know, has a lovely daughter and all this kind of stuff, when I say Regina is a dream come true, I mean that literally. You know, I stared at that photo album. I had dreamed about some of these circumstances, and they have come into manifestation. So, of course, I like her, right? She's what I dreamed of. So I made her life. But then the question is, what is I? Regina's creator is mind. Mind dreamed a dream, and the dream came true. Am I mind? And as I looked, the answer came no. I am common, uncreated, and unnoticed by mind. So really, Regina isn't my dream come true. Regina is mind's dream come true. And so what I looked at in this inquiry is that I am not the mind. I am the awareness, the present still awareness that would be the same no matter what this personality had turned out like. I just got a text. Jasmine's in the next room. She can hear me. I just got a text. She goes, I think you're lovely too. So I am common, uncreated, and unnoticed by mind. See me and forget about the play in the amphitheater of mind. Know thyself and be happy. But the reason I shared this again is because, you know, we do have trouble letting go of this personality, and we want to look at why we have trouble letting go of this personality. And part of it just is, especially at our age, folks, most of us have made this. You know, whether we're a successful professional, whether we live in the house that we want to live in with the things that we want to have, whether we travel the world, whether we think we have refined ear and listening to music or refined palate and tasting food, to some degree, this person that I am is somebody that we decided would be worthwhile, and we became that. It's literally the creation, at least of the mind. It's our creation, and we like it. We're attached to it, right? Just like if you had, you know, made a piece of art out of clay. But again, what we need to see is we need to look deeper at what we are. We're not this person that we have created. We're not even the mind that created it. We're that awareness that still, I called it common, uncreated awareness. And just keep focusing our attention on that, and that will help us lose our attachment to this personality. Yeah, George says, I'm comfortable with George like an old shoe. Exactly. I mean, that's exactly it. So any comments on that journal entry? Let me ask you this. Can you all see the aspects of yourself that you like because you decided upon them and then made them be, yeah, see? We all love ourselves. And the Course says that too, right? The Course talks about that too. Yeah. All right, then let's move on to the next one. So I have 1085. It is absence of self-knowledge that is known as ignorance or delusion. When the self is known, one reaches the shores of limitless intelligence. So I'm going to share my screen again, and we're going to go look at 1085B. All right. What is limitless intelligence? Limitless intelligence is being in bliss contentment without a limit, without a boundary or a line that can be crossed, and then bliss contentment ends. Limitless intelligence is limitless bliss contentment. Limitless bliss contentment is limitless intelligence, because it is never forgetting what I am, and it is never slipping into ignorance, into anti-intelligence. So I remember when I started this spiritual path and I would read things like limitless intelligence, I imagined that when I woke up, I would know everything, you know, like Einstein, you know, times 1,000. You know, that I would just know everything. That's what I thought intelligence was. But as I have matured, I've realized that intelligence has nothing to do with knowing anything other than what I am. Doesn't matter at all. It's just knowing that unaffected self, and therefore being that natural happiness that comes from knowing ourselves. That alone is actually intelligence. In the eyes of the world, we could be completely stupid. And I think it's true that the more I wake up, in some ways, the more stupid I become. And the reason I become stupid is because certain things don't interest me anymore. So I just don't care about them, right? So I'm not becoming smart about them. But also one thing that makes me appear very stupid, and by the way, I'm very happy to be stupid. I just want to say that. This is, somebody once said to me, don't call yourself stupid. It's like, hey, I have no problem with this whatsoever. You know, this is not an insult. another reason that I'm becoming stupid is because I'm so in the moment that I'm kind of not paying attention to other moments. You know, like the other night we were playing Clue. And of course, when you're playing Clue, the game, you know, somebody shows you a card and you're supposed to keep that card a secret. That's your clue, and that's going to help you to figure out the murder mystery, right? Well, I'm playing the game, but at the same time, I forget what I'm doing even while I'm doing it. So I said something about, I think it was Mrs. Green in the kitchen with a rope, and Ron showed me the card. Which was my clue, and the card said Mr. Green. And I went, oh, Mr. Green, because I had said Mrs. Green. And I just gave the clue to everybody around the table, which I thought was hilarious. Ron thought, oh, no, I just blew it. But I'm, even though I'm playing a game, I'm not really thinking about the fact that I'm playing a game. I'm just being in the moment. And in that moment, I had said Mrs. Green and quickly discovered it was a Mr. Green. So that's kind of all that was in my mind in that moment, if you will, right? So, so intelligence has nothing to do with how smart we are. Intelligence has everything to do with how happy we are, how unaffected we are, right? That's intelligence. Because that's the truth. Because that's the truth of who we are. There's nothing more intelligent than that. Nothing at all. Any comments or sharings based on that? Yes, okay. Boy, that was a tie. I'm going to let George go first, though.
Thanks. Well, what comes to me is I know everything I need to know in the moment, and there's nothing else needed.
Yeah. Yeah, and I noticed Ron wrote The Fool on the Hill, and yes, I resonate with that. Ron, go ahead.
Yeah, it's really somewhat similar to George. I think of it as actually knowing nothing and being nothing, because if I'm just the perfect conduit, then what I need will show up in the moment.
Yeah. Yeah. Tony, did I see your hand? Yes.
I just want to share a little story that I recently experienced about being willing to not know. a couple of months ago, my son-in-law had asked me if I could get a couple of days off from work. Friday, January 10th, and Monday, January 13th. And I said, sure. And he's told me that he was planning a birthday present for my daughter, his wife, for after the holidays. So I said, okay. I didn't ask him any questions. I didn't know if I was going to be babysitting or if I was going to be included in this plan, but I just let it go, even though there was a great temptation to want to know. And then so he had asked me about a month later, did you get those days off from work? And I said, yeah, I did. And I'm like, okay. I had never said anything, even though I really felt like there was an urge to want to. And so then on Christmas Eve, he said, Jesse wants to go to Amish country. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. That sounds wonderful. And so at that point, I got the sense that, you know, we were going to be included in this trip. And so I'm like, okay. And that was it. I didn't ask any other questions. And I had found out on Christmas, actually, it wasn't an Amish weekend getaway. They had actually bought us, my husband and I, Tom, a cruise to the Bahamas, a three-day cruise. And so, but I had not, even though the desire was, or I recognized the desire to want to know, I resisted it and just allowed it to transform into whatever it was going to be. And it was really, really very lovely. And just let this experience unfold and find out what would happen at the end of it. So that was a really cool experience.
Well, that is wonderful. Yeah, that's a wonderful story. Thank you. That's, you know, it's very symbolic of the joys of just letting life unfold without trying to control it. So thank you for sharing that. Yeah. Anything else? All right, then let me peek at my notes. 1088. The ripples play on the surface of the ocean. They are neither born nor do they die. Oh yeah, I remember this. What is the process of awareness becoming attention and attention becoming thought? As I ask the question, I see the question is in error. Awareness does not become attention and attention does not become thought. There is thought sometimes, and there is attention on thought sometimes, but there is always awareness. Awareness is the sea. Sometimes there is the play of attention and thought on the surface of the sea, and sometimes there isn't, but the sea always is. Focus on the sea. So I shared this because, again, I think this is very important that we don't lose track of what we really are. You know, we're all aware of the fact that we can see thought. If we pay close attention, we'll notice we can also see attention, right? You can see when your attention got lost in thought. What saw that? What saw that attention was lost in thought? You can see when attention goes outward. And if you turn attention inward, you can see attention go inward. What is it that knows the difference between attention out and attention in? What is it that's aware of attention? That's a wonderful, wonderful question to ask, because, you know, usually we'll say things like, I was lost in thought, right? That's the way we say it. When we say, I was lost in thought, we are identifying with attention. So in the beginning, we identify with the body, we identify with thought. And then later, maybe we think we're more advanced when we're identifying with attention instead. But if you notice, you're the one that sees attention, right? You're even prior to that, more subtle than that. So I guess that's all I have to say about that. I just wanted to make that point. Are there any comments? All right, then, back to the notes. I think you guys, oh wait, George had his hand up. Go ahead, George.
I was just thinking, one of the things I love about being around water is the movement, the interaction of the sun, the rippling. If it's just right, it looks like diamonds. And yet I'm the awareness that is looking at that manifestation, and just looking at the surface of the water.
Yes. Yeah, and that's what we really want to just keep reflecting back on. Did somebody else have a comment? All right, then. Let me move on to our next journal entry, which is 1095. The best of all states, O sage, is indeed the vision of the one infinite consciousness. Even the contemplation of the self, which is infinite consciousness, banishes sorrow, terminates the long dream vision of the world appearance, purifies the mind and the heart, and dispels worries and misfortunes. That contemplation of the self is devoid of mentation. And I have a note to look at 1095 B and D, not all of it. So let's see. There it is. Actually, it might be faster to go this way this time. These are interesting words to me. Long dream vision of the world appearance. Okay. And I did a weekly gathering on this not too long ago, so this may seem familiar. I have a secret. I know the world is a dream. I know this lifetime is a dream. I know because I have been privy to the power of dream. I have desired and daydreamed, and the object of the daydream has manifested. This has happened again and again and again, so much so that I cannot list all of the occurrences of this phenomenon. I have kept it a secret. I've told people I wanted, I dreamed of, and then it appeared. I haven't told people because I have known something is wrong with this. What's wrong with it? It's dreaming. It's not reality. It's not truth. It hides reality and hides truth. This wisdom, this seeing the fallacy in wanting and getting, has killed all wanting in me, because wanting is seen as perpetuating the long dream vision. I'm learning to live now without wanting. It's an adjustment, because wanting has been a driving force. Now the driving force is gone and the sense of drifting has taken its place. Empty, drifting, and a little afraid. afraid that abandoning wanting is abandoning control of the dream, which is true. I leave the dream to other wanters, and we shall see what their wanting does to the dream. I leave it to them because it is theirs now. I abandon dreaming. So, I shared this because it's true. I don't know what else to say. I shared this. To master this manifestation technique, and to some degree it can be mastered. To other degrees, you'll never have total control, because again, you aren't the only wanter in the dream, right? The dream comes from the totality of consciousness. But at some point, and sometimes I think you need to play this game until it becomes like old hat, just like anything else that you get really good at, and then it's no fun anymore because you mastered it, right? But all that's happening when you're desiring, daydreaming about, and then it comes into manifestation, all that's happening is dreaming. And you come to see that very, very clearly because you know the creative power and where it came from. Therefore, you know it's not reality. It's kind of like if you did have a piece of clay and you made a statue, made something out of it, you know you made that. Therefore, you know it's not reality, right? It was created. It's the same thing with the dream. And so at some point, at least my experience is, there's a tiring of manifestation. In fact, you get so good at it, you know you can want something and it might be here tomorrow. You know, you just get so good at it that it's not fun anymore. And I think that's when you really start wanting to know what's the truth. You know, what's the ultimate reality that is beyond anything my mind can create and make appear? I also had, let's look at 1095D. So I will share my screen again and we'll jump over and see what that says. Abandoning dreaming dispels worries and misfortunes. Because abandoning dreaming dispels desires, desired outcomes, and judgment. Without those, there can be no worry. Without those, there can be no misfortune. There is only an ongoing play, which I am not a part of. So the reason I wanted to share this is because one reason people don't want to abandon dreaming is because they believe they get what they want through dreaming. And again, to a degree, that's true. Like I said, if I could remember all of the instances, I would have a very, very long list of things I dreamed about that were brought into manifestation. Again, that's why I even like Regina, right? She was created through dreaming. But what all you have to look at the whole picture. You have to look at what all dreaming does. Typically, when a person is desiring or dreaming something that isn't here now, there's a sense of dissatisfaction, maybe small, maybe large. But the whole time the object or the circumstance that you want isn't here, there's an element of suffering because it isn't here. If you don't see yourself as a master manifester, there may be a lot of worry that you won't be able to get it. There may be a lot of fear that things are going to work out differently than what you want. So one of the things you want to do with dreaming, or we could call it desiring, is you want to kind of look at dreaming or desiring with eyes wide open and ask, does this process really make me happy? Is this process true? I mean, it's promising you joy. That's why you get into it. It's promising you joy. But you have to look and see, is that the actual situation? I may have told this story before, but there was a woman I knew when I lived in North Carolina, and she was in her 70s, but she had never had what she considered a satisfactory romantic relationship. She had had relationships. In fact, she had some sons. I don't remember how many, somewhere between 2 and 4 sons. But she had never had this dream relationship that she dreamed of. And she was getting on dating sites, and there would be some man, and she would think, okay, this is it. Usually it didn't even last 6 weeks. And you know, it turned out he just wanted money, or he had a wife, or something. And she would get all upset and then go into it again. And this was really like an addiction for her. It happened multiple times in the few years that I knew her. And so she was talking to me about this as a spiritual counselor. And what I recommended was that she let go of wanting a man in her life. Just let it go. She couldn't bear the thought of it. She thought she would be miserable if she let it go. This is a woman who was in her 70s, had been miserable her whole life because this imaginary romantic relationship had never happened. And yet she still thought it was the source of her happiness. She couldn't see that it was making her miserable and leading her from one really bad relationship to another really bad relationship. And it was a very addictive cycle. I had another friend who was very, very worried about money. And she apparently had a little bit of money at least because she would invest it. But then right after she invested it, her mind would start telling her how she made the wrong investment. She was going to lose all her money. She'd get really freaked out. She'd end up calling her broker, changing her investment. She'd breathe for a second, and then the same thing would happen over again. I knew this woman like 9-10 years, and this cycle repeated itself over and over and over again. Again, she would call me in absolute fear, terrified that she had just invested her money wrongly. And what her mind was telling her is that she had to have a certain amount of money to retire. That's what the story was. She was killed in a accident before she ever retired. So again, we have to notice, you have to look and see what is the real cause of my suffering. You know, and you might be surprised how much desire or wanting is causing your suffering. It's promising your happiness, but it's causing your suffering. Are there any comments on that? Yes, Ron.
As you, for whatever reason, this was a skill I was able to usually produce from a manifestation perspective. But also got to the point where I couldn't experience any joy.
Right.
It's like I couldn't, that's what was missing no matter what. And, you know, money was no object. Nothing was a barrier. And it was really, really interesting. And for me, at least what I proved for myself was that I don't know what's best for me. So the worst thing I can do is actually set expectations purposefully, because two things happen, right? You measure against the expectation potentially, but more problematic is I actually achieve that expectation and I'm not happy again. It does feel a little anchorless in a way of living without just accepting what shows up without really trying to even chart the course much.
Yeah.
I'm still not quite there with that whole dynamic. But it's interesting space.
Yeah. And it's also something that other people don't understand. You know, everybody always expects you to, well, know what your future is going to be. Nobody knows what their future is going to be, but most of us imagine we know what our future is going to be, right? So you're right. It is anchorless just to be in the moment, be happy with what is, and let life unfold in the way that it's going to unfold and be happy with that. It is anchorless. Yeah. Any other comments? All right, then. Let me see what I have next. Let's see. That was 1095, correct? So we go to 1097. I'm going to skip that one for now. That's too big of a discussion. Let's go to 1098. Even as when a statue is broken, no life is lost. When the body born of thoughts and notions is dead, nothing is lost. It is like the loss of the second moon when one is cured of, I don't know this word, diplopia. I think it must be an illness. The self, which is infinite consciousness, does not die, nor does it undergo any change whatsoever. Oh, yes. When my beloved dog died, I saw that life lost nothing. There wasn't a hole where my dog had been. Life was exactly the same, fully alive and living. Life cannot be subtracted from. That is an absolute truth. And this is hard for some people to understand. I've brought this up before. And it's hard for some people to understand, and I suppose it is until it isn't. But the day that I put Jamie down, after I left the vet and went for a walk, I was struck by life, by the life in the insects, the life in the trees, the life in the wind, the life in the birds. I was struck by how life was as full and as perfect as it ever had been. It was obvious to me, and I want you to listen to that word, obvious to me that nothing had been lost. And I think what keeps us from seeing that is when we think that when we attach life to form, because forms do come and go. There's no doubt about that. Like, the dog was not there anymore. That's why I was walking by myself now, right? The dog was not there. But if you can shift your vision and look at life, you'll notice you can't cut a hole out of life and say there's death. Right? You just can't. Life is always perfect. Life is always ongoing. And every one of us, these physical bodies, are going to die, and life will be just as perfect and just as full as it ever was. So what the spiritual path is really about is shifting our eyes from form to life, realizing that the forms are temporary. It's life awareness that's eternal, and we are that life awareness. That's what we really want to focus on while we're still in form, right? We want to notice the reality of what we are rather than thinking that we're this temporary thing. Are there any comments or sharings based on that? Yes, Tony.
I thought I heard you say, but your voice was breaking up just a little bit.
Sorry.
That's okay. One of the lines said, it is like the loss of the second moon when the one is cured of diplopia. Diplopia is double vision. And so that's exactly, as you didn't understand what the word was, but you explained it perfectly when you were saying that because a manifestation appears to, you know, is gone, that life is still present. There's nothing lost. It's having single vision once you're cured of your double vision. So it was very sweet, and I understand that completely. And I see sometimes Tom, you know, still his father died. It's going to go on 2 years in March, and you know, he still gets sad about that. And I don't know if it's because it's not my father, but I just feel the joy that he did bring to the life that he had. And it's still, I don't feel that there's a loss at all, that his presence isn't here any longer. So I understand what that line says. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you for explaining that. Any other comments? All right, then. Let me see what comes up next. 11:05. We'll go to 11:05 for a moment. I lost you guys. I clicked in the wrong place. There you are. Okay, 11:05. Even as an error of yesterday can be rectified and turned into a good action by self-effort today, the habits of the past can be overcome by appropriate self-effort. I think I am going to leave us time to play this song, so I'm not going to go to my journal. I will just tell you what's in my journal at 11:05. As you saw, I had contemplated earlier about how I had dreamed of things in manifestation, and those things manifested. What happens at 11:05 is I begin to wonder, as I'm contemplating this, if I know how to manifest things, if I know how to dream things and bring them into reality, is there some skill that I use in dreaming to manifest that I can put towards awakening? And you know, and what I started looking at is that, first of all, when I'm really dreaming, like when I really wanted a place to live in La Vida, I thought about it a lot. I spent a lot of time on realtor.com looking at houses in La Vida. I cut out pictures of houses in La Vida and had them hanging in my office, right? I mean, it was on my mind a lot, and it was on my mind with joy. It's not like I had to schedule an hour into my calendar to think about having a house in La Vida. You know, I mean, it was on my mind all the time naturally. Sometimes it was distracting me from what I, quote, should be doing, you know, because it was just natural for me to go there. All of that, it seems, can be used towards awakening. That thinking of awakening, dreaming of awakening, not anything specific, right, because you don't want to manifest some experience that you define as awakening, but just dreaming of awakening, thinking of awakening, contemplating you're doing that. In meditation, you're doing that. But not only then, just really wanting it is what I'm talking about. Just like you might want anything else that you dream about. And you're using those same powers, which I have seen proof of, and Ron has seen proof of at least, that you bring stuff into form. You're using those same powers to dream yourself right out of the dream. Dream yourself into reality. So that's the last thing I had to share. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to go to YouTube, and I'm going to share this song from Frozen 2, which is about embracing the unknown, and that's how we'll end. It's a fun song, but it also has a very good message. So let's see here. Oh, wait. What I'm not sure of is if I remember to share my sound, because I got so used to sharing for other purposes. So let me do that again.
I can hear you, but I won't. Some look for trouble, while others don't. There's a thousand reasons I should go about my day and ignore your whispers, which I wish would go away. Oh. Oh. You're not a voice, you're just a ringing in my ear. And if I heard you, which I don't, I'm spoken for, I fear. Someone out there who's a little bit like me, who knows deep down I'm not where I'm meant to be. Every day it's a little harder as I feel my power grow. Don't you know there's part of me that loves you?
So at least I think that's a great inspirational song. So if you find yourself getting scared of some unknown, just play that song for yourself a few times. You'll be ready to go. All right. So thank you all for coming and hanging out with me. And again, I'll see you around. I'll be here tomorrow night, but if I don't see you then, I'll see you some other time soon.